Hi, I'm Stephanie, and a grateful recovering alcoholic. I always say that this 10th step is the beginning of real living. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. I don't know if you're like me, but if I've been hurt or I have to make an amends to somebody, it takes me a little while to get over it. Sometimes a day, sometimes an hour. And because of this step over the years, I have learned to go to the person that I may thought I had hurt or they're hurt and say, you know, I'm very sorry this happened, and it's up to them to forgive me. I said that doing these steps again, I try to live them every day, but doing them as I have done them this last couple months, they become more alive to me. More, I'm thinking about, I have a lot of years, but they become more alive. And like I said, I don't always like to admit I'm wrong or that I have to make an amends or somebody slights me. But I have learned through this program that when that happens, I go to the person right away, as soon as I can. Some days it's a day, and I don't like to leave it overnight. As I grew up, my parents always said, never go to bed with a grudge. But sometimes that's not easy. We began to put these into practice in the 9 steps. 9 of the steps are all building up to this 10th step. We made a list of the people. We talked about that before. And somebody mentioned that some of the people they should make amends to were dead. What do you do? And I was suggested to write a letter to them and then destroy it if they were dead. And most of the people that I affected either didn't know I affected them or they're dead. Admitted to God, and I tried to admit that, and we have what we call confession, and I can do that. Sometimes people do my confession. They tell me. So that's okay. Maybe I'm unaware of it. And then, of course, name all my defects. Well, as soon as I always refer to those as the sea creature called a hydra. You get one defect taken care of. It's brought to your attention. If you live with 60 some nuns, they'll bring out your defects real fast. You think you have one. By the time the day is over, I don't know how many I have. But I try to work on one at a time. And when I come to 10, like you know, I said, taking personal inventory, and they say something to me about it, then I right away think, well, what about you? You're not perfect. So, you know, I have to play the game there. And then my shortcomings. And then, of course, to admit to another person. And we do that. We do it to God, to another person, and to your sponsor, usually, so they have an idea of what kind of person you are. And I take every day before I go to bed, I try to think of the day. And we had an incident today. I'm in charge of housekeeping, and somebody said to me this morning, I think this house is a hotel. We have had so much company, and then we had a big leak. We had to move some of the patients to another area. Now we're back to the original area. So that involves my workers to have to clean up. I help them. And to remake beds, to do this. Well, then they told me we had company 2 days ago, just for overnight, and they used the apartment. And I no sooner got the bedding done when this nun gives me another note, there's company tonight. I said, my God. I said, I can't do everything. We can't do everything. I don't even have the room cleared out yet. Well, she had made a mistake with the date. It should be tomorrow. Well, in the meantime, I go to bed thinking, oh God, how are we going to get this done? We're moving all these people back and da 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 da. Sometimes I forget, God helps you. So I'm awake at night wondering what I'm going to do. And so this morning I get a phone call early. Steph, that company isn't coming. The husband and wife are fighting, so they're not going to come. I don't want them fighting, but I didn't have to worry about the room. It's a big apartment. And so I didn't it was like, but you know, asking God for help and going through the day. So then I said to God today, you know, I don't always trust you. You messed me up. Well, then he probably said to me, you know, I did fix it up for you. You're not going to have any company to worry about. So for about a day or two, I don't see a note saying we're going to have somebody staying over. But anyway, I have to, every day, I have to go through the day, or sometimes I have to think, I might have been curt with somebody. You know, somebody made a remark and I came back at them. I try to be more aware of my behaviors. This came out of this program. You know, I could fly off the handle if some teacher bothered me or got in my way. I could fly off the handle at her or him. And today, if somebody says something, we have a few that have mental problems and they don't know that they're causing problems. And I have to be kind to them. And then you get somebody that says, oh, what are we going to do with her? I said, do you realize that she's not well? Handle her with care. Oh, you say that all the time. I said, well, I know what they'll be like if I don't. So you have to. Think of the, you know, from the time you get up till the time you go to bed. And I like step 10 because I don't have to wait weeks or months till I can make that admission. I can do it right away, but I don't always. If somebody hurts my feelings, I might have a little grudge for a while. And then I have learned through the program here that if somebody says something to me, I have learned to go to them and say, what do you mean by that? And not carry it around. I can't carry it around because it's going to eat at me. And then I'm not going to be, I'll be worse. And we have to have a conscious contact with our higher power. As I said, I talked to God and said, boy, you got to do something. And that's all I said. And of course he did. They didn't come. They're not coming. And that's a relief. Now, I don't know if I get home, I'll have another note saying somebody is coming. But they'll have to wait another day because we didn't quite get done today. I have to ask God for help. I can't do it on my own. You know, I thought I was Carrie Nation, that I could run everything. And I know today, even when I go to work, I ask God for help because a lot of times I'm going into a situation that somebody's dying. And I'll get a call from the office. Sister, somebody is on their way. So I have to go to that person. I'm at St. Mary's home. And I have to be prepared to know how to handle that, talk to the family, and of course be with the patient. And make it easy for them passing. And that's due to this program. I've been in healthcare for a long time, but it's different for every person. And sometimes they pass when I'm not there, and I still have to go and pray with the family and console them, and no matter how old the person is. And I set apart time during the day to pray that I continue to do what I need to do every day. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle always includes God, and we believe in a spiritual being, somebody who helps us. And I have seen the hand of God in my life much brighter in and through this program than I even saw it before. I'm more aware of his presence, and sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's scary. And I have to do daily self-appraisal. I have to go home and think, you know, take the day in and say, and thank God, it was a good day. I have hardly any day that isn't good. You know, it was funny the day of the flood. We have some sisters that just moved in, and I felt bad that the flood started there. But somehow the toilet started bubbling up, and I'm passing the newspapers, and I'm coming through, and I'm wading through water, and I'm wondering where this water's coming from. Well, it affected 5 bedrooms. And of course, the night shift was trying to mop it up, and then maintenance came in. And finally, we got these big turbines in to suck up all the water. And then we had one little nun, and she doesn't like noise. And we tried to give her a room in the area closer so she wouldn't have to walk. Well, the one morning I'm coming down the hall, and who's coming down my hall? And I'm like 3 blocks from where this is happening. So what are you doing down here? Well, I went to my old room, and I said, now I could have been nicer. I said, did you get in your bed, or did you sleep in the chair? She said, I went in the bed. I said, do you know what that means for me? We have to clean a room after she's back to her own room. Well, she looked at me like saying, it's your problem, not mine. But anyway, we handle that. And, you know, it's hard sometimes when you have people wondering why you're doing this, what are you doing that for, how's come. I try to always remember, I don't want to be snappy and come out with a smart remark. I just say, well, they were all upset about the flood. And they said, well, what are they doing about it? I said, right now they're mopping it up, and the contingent's coming in with the big blowers, and they're doing the best they can for now. Well, how long are we going to be like this? I said, till it dries up. And then they had to redo the baseboard around the area, wherever the water was. And I said, I don't know. It's just going to take time. And you're taken care of. You're not in it. Think of the housekeepers, and think of the maintenance. They have all that to do. Oh, some of them. So anyway, I always have to be on my toes, because I have to be the person they think, and I have a program. This program tells me how to live. So I don't have to get all bent out of shape. I don't have to carry I used to think I was carrying nation, and I had to carry all the weight of the problems and the same when I was in charge of the infirmary. I'd have to go to the hospital, and I would think, oh my Lord, I'll have to sit here, especially in the emergency room. Hours. I read books. But every time I went there, there was either a person from the program, or somebody I knew, or I was a presence to the people that were there. One day I was there from 1 a.m. in the morning till 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And Father Dennis said to me, why didn't you call me? I said, I never thought of it, really. And then I said, besides, every person there was cardiac, and they did not have enough beds. And I'm not carrying weight because who I am. Well, that was nice of you. So he goes to the phone and calls up and says, we want a bed. I had a bed. But I said, what about all these other people? He said, I'll take care of them eventually. So, but sometimes I wonder why I'm there, but there's a reason. I have touched somebody's life that I, unbeknown. Later on, I'll meet them and I'll say, remember when I was in a hospital and we were in the ER and you were there? I said, yeah. Well, you made us feel good. You took care of, I knew the ropes, so I could like get them lunch or I could get them something. And I said, you did that. I don't remember that. All I remember is I went out of here. And I had one patient, this is funny. We called her a Madonna. She was a real lady, very, well, she fell and broke her hip. Of course, I get a call, you go in the hospital. So, Queenie, I called her Queenie. Oh, Queenie, I'll have to be with you. Well, we got there, it was an August night, and it was frigid in that hospital. They have to keep the ER cold. Frigid. And I had no sweater, nothing. She had a sweater. And she said to me, you take my sweater. Of course, I got her those heated blankets to keep her warm. And she was such an edification to me. When I came home, the sister says, how was Queenie? I said, you would have been proud of her. I said, she did not demand. She never said a word. She gave me her sweater. And I told her when she came home how much I admired her for doing that. I can do that today through this fellowship. I can find the good. Oh, we had one, she just died. And her father was a fire chief. And she was always... one time I took the switchboard and she called me up after. Don't you ever go on that switchboard again. You don't know what you're doing. I said, no, I didn't know what I was doing. But nobody was answering it, so somebody had to do something. Well, don't do it again. Then she said, she always had it was her personality, but she could come off very rough. And as she was getting, when she got bad, I would go in and she'd throw me out. Somebody said, were you in to see Julie today? I said, no, I got thrown out. So it was a daily occurrence, but I'd stop in. And when she was awake, what are you doing here today? You haven't been here. Yeah, I've been here, you know. Through the program, I don't have to get mad at her. She's on her way up. I can't get mad at her. But anyway, those are the things that I got taught through this program, through this 10th step, how to behave every day. I'm not perfect. I might come off, and then, but I have learned to go back to the person and say, I didn't mean to say that, or I didn't, you know, I'm sorry about that. If they don't forgive me, that's okay. But I'm doing my part. And that's what I love about this program. I didn't know before, in step 10, that I could do this. I thought I had to be angry for a long time, or I had to not apologize to you. And I think that, you know, this has taught me a lot. And things happen. People hurt you. They're going to hurt you. And a lot of times they're unbeknown. They don't even know they did it. They wonder what you're talking about when you say, you know, this is what you said. I did? Yeah, you did. But I can do that today. I can swallow my pride and go to them. Oh, we got a new gadget. The kids at the phone, see, I take a lot of phone, but in the evening we have young kids. And they play on their computers and all that. And they don't pay attention. When the bell rings, they open the door. And they don't look. And we had an incident not too long ago. So all the rules now are you must look. Well, now we have a new speaker thing that when somebody comes to the door, they're locked. They have to ask who they're visiting before. Well, I didn't know it wasn't activated yet. So the kid came on a Saturday morning and she said, what is this? I said, you're supposed to speak into it to the person that's outside. But I don't know how to work it. So we put it back and we didn't do anything. And the big boss comes to me and she says, you told Haven to use this. I said, I told her I didn't know how to use it, but it's supposed to, you're supposed to ask people what they want or who they are. She said, it's not activated yet. I said, well, I'm very sorry. You know, and I could say I was sorry. But it isn't activated yet. So anyway, those are the things that, daily things that happen. Or if somebody has a spill, sometimes they leave it, and you know, somebody else has to clean it up. Well, you know, it's nice to go and say, you know, I had an accident, I spilled this, and we had a girl that worked for us in tray room, and the last day she was working for us, she dumped a whole bottle of something sweet on a carpeting, and they couldn't get it out. So we had to have the whole carpet pulled out. But I don't, you know, she's mentally challenged, and so we, you know, we didn't make a big deal. But she didn't say anything till we saw it. And we told her the next day, you know, at least let somebody know that something, you know, sometimes we find things broken and nobody tells you. And that's very annoying too. And if I break something, I'll tell them, you know. Sometimes the silverware gets thrown out, but that you can't help that because they clear off. We lose a lot of silverware. And this it's humility. We talk about humility in its program. It isn't always easy to admit things, and the more we do, the humbler we become. And I'm most grateful for this fellowship, and I think I've said enough. No questions.
Sorry, no questions.
I want you to be happy.
I am happy.
All right.
Oh, two more times.
Question?
Okay. Comment? You have something you
want to
say?
Don't fall over the dog.
Summer's going to ask a question in a minute.
When I first came into the program, Sister, I heard a lot of people talk about step 10 and in the evening, at night, when they went to bed, looking back over their day and thinking about what they had done wrong and et cetera. And I kept hearing that, and frankly, by the time I'm going to bed, I'm too tired to even think about that. I mean, I just want to go to bed. So for me, I have learned that the harder and the better I work the steps, the more I realize during the day when I've done something wrong. And then I can make the amends right then or shortly thereafter. I just never felt like I had to do something at the end of night. Because for me, step 10 is something I do all during the day. What do you think about that?
I do it too. I fall asleep. I can't remember what I did. Yeah, I do it at the time it happens. And if I don't have the opportunity with the person or whatever, the next day I get them and say, you know, whatever it is, you know.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you said that, because if you're doing it that way, then I feel better.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
It could be any time. I just have to walk in the house when I get home, and I might have to make an amends to somebody that I, you know.
Anyone?
I'm glad we have that step, because I used to think I had to store it up till I went to confession, and then I couldn't remember anyway.
Do you have a question, young man? Anyone else?
Thanks, Cheryl. Thanks, Sister. My question is regarding when you're sponsoring someone and they're doing their 10th step, and if they're like too tired to do it during the day or too tired at night, the next morning, do you have them do not only their amends or whatever, but the things that they did that were, you know, an asset, and give themselves credit for that, or how do you deal with that? The question is that when you review your day, you talked about the things that maybe you needed to make amends for, but also the things that you did right that
oh, yeah.
day too.
Yeah, we do good things. We do good things. And I think I think because of our nature, we zero in on all the wrong things we did. And every one of us does a lot of good. Our good outweighs our bad. And I think I have to stress that even when I sponsor also. You know, we are good people. And we have a lot of opportunities that the people out there do not have. And I thank God every day for that. And I think of the nuns that don't have... we had one nun that was very scrupulous. Beautiful woman, but so scrupulous. And I was in the program at the time. And I kept saying to her, "You're a good woman. You have not done anything. We all do dumb things. We all make mistakes. But you're good." And I was wishing she had a program that could zero in on what we have and to go through our defects and to go through all that. They don't know about that. They don't know how to handle it. There are a lot of people that are scrupulous because of that, that worry about it. But this program, and that's what I do, find the good. I always try to find the good. We had to fire somebody last week. And there were problems, but I would always try to find the good she did. But there were serious problems besides. But, you know, when she did something good, I let her know. You know, because people were coming down on her. When you have somebody coming down on you all the time, it really doesn't bring you up. And I try to, you know, always find the good. Same with kids. When I had kids in school and teachers would, I would say to them, find the good that these kids do. They might have not been the brightest. They might have not. I had one in kindergarten. He was in kindergarten. When he got to me, he said one day, "Well, you know all about me." And I said, "No, I don't." I did. He was a devil. But I said, "No, I don't. What am I supposed to know?" And you know, he was the best kid because I was in the office more than I was teaching the class. And when I wasn't in the classroom, he took over, and those kids never breathed. He really. So, and he was good. But it's those kids you have to, you know, and people too. You know, staffs. You had to make them. We had a staff member at St. Mary's, and I went to kill her. I didn't have the right to. But she, all these bells are ringing, and she's sitting in this room with this lady, with the door shut. And I kept saying, "Why is this?" And I knew the lady. I had her kids in school, Dynamite and Dynamo. They were twins. And I said, "Teresa, don't have your door shut. You should not have your door shut." Well, every time I'd open the door, behind the door was this girl sitting in a chair while all these bells are ringing. And I said, "Teresa, you're doing wrong by letting her be here. She's neglecting all the other patients, and she's only wasting time here." And I had to do that. And the girl's still there. And she, you know, and one day I said to her, "I just want you to know," well, the other girl she was with was kind of pulling her down, your associates. And that one got fired, but she's there yet. And I said, "I want you to know how wonderful your work doing now. You're so attentive to the clients and so on." And I've seen a big change in her. Sometimes when we put people down all the time, how can they come up? It's so important. You brought a good point up.
Well, thank you. Can I get credit for that in third grade? Yeah. Another follow-up to that is, you know, through our 6 and 7 steps on our program, how do you correlate that with our 10th step also?
Well, our character defects are the ones that affect us in the 10th step a lot, in the 7th, and 8 and 9. That's why I said they're all part of, they can't be separated. They're all part of the whole unit. The first three relate to God, but the rest relate to personal dealings with people.
Any other questions? Thanks, sister. Thanks an awful lot.